Welcome back. In today's episode, we're taking a deeper dive into what exactly is biblical strategy, why it's important, how to apply it to your life, and the first strategic move you must make to uncover and step into your God's given purpose. This is going to bless you. It's going to be so good. Tune in. Hey sisters, welcome to Purpose Beyond 40. Have you been craving more meaning and purpose in your life? Do you feel like God is stirring something up inside you, but lack the clarity to move forward, so you stay stuck in fear instead? Do you feel like it's too late for you to step into your purpose and your God-given calling? Hi, I'm Vicki, a wife, mother, nana, and your seasoned sister in Christ. I too was well over 40, actually 57 at the time God called me into my coaching business. I too felt that God was stirring something up inside of me and wish I had clarity and confidence to move forward. I kept telling myself that I was too old to start something new. In this podcast, I will help you uncover your purpose through biblical strategies, clarify your vision, and overcome your fear so you can move forward and live a life of purpose. Girl, get off that couch. You're not done yet. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." First of all, woman of God, we must recognize that the enemy knows the plans, but he does not want us to carry these plans out. That's why biblical strategy is important. When we look at the word strategy, all it is a careful plan of action designed to achieve a major goal. It's a detailed plan for achieving success in situations, and certain strategies are going to require monitoring and also repetition. Now, strategy is an action to achieve a desired state in the future. Strategy also results from the detailed strategic planning and a process. Strategy can also be defined as knowledge. It's also the blueprint of decisions. When we think about strategy, it is significant because it's not possible to foresee the future. So strategy becomes a well-defined roadmap towards our purpose. It defines the overall mission, the vision, and the direction of the plan that God has for you. The objective of strategy is to maximize our strength, which is faith, and to minimize the strengths of fear. Oh, that's a good one right there. I'm going to repeat that again. It is to maximize our faith and minimize fear. Strategy, if you look at it in short, basically it's the missing link between where we are and where we want to go. And we have some scriptures for you that is going to back up what strategy is. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We can make plans, but the Lord determines our steps." So this is that scripture that said many are in the plans in our minds, but it's the Lord who is going to establish these steps. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track." That's strategy. Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them to him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and guidance." And the last one I want to share with you, Ephesians 1:11, "All things are done according to God's plan and decision. And God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the beginning. So God has already ordained us. And these biblical strategies that we're going to use come from the Word of God. And the number one, or I should say the first strategic move that we need to make in fulfilling, uncovering, and stepping into our purpose is writing the vision. Writing the vision from Habakkuk 2 and 3. I'm going to read this from the Message version. It says, "And then God answered, 'Write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time.'" This is powerful. This is your first strategic move. When God begins to give us that vision, we have to write it out. And it's clear why these details are in place. And I'm going to break down this passage of scripture into three different parts and talk about it a little bit more, because this is what I had to do. I had to write it out, because we get a lot of things in our head. And we need to get it visually where we can write it out or we can see it so it can be very clear to us. Because sometimes when it's a lot in our head, we get confused and we have all these other kind of thoughts and everything's going on. So this is why this is the first strategic move. Scripture also tells us people perish without a vision. You have to have a vision. You have to have a vision. Now, the first part of Habakkuk 2 and 3 says, "And then God answered, 'Write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run.'" That means you're going to write out step by step. You're going to write down every detail that you are seeing in your mind that God is showing you. When I thought about this, I was thinking about the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember when they were building the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, it had to be a certain type of wood that they used. They used acacia wood, is what the Lord was telling them. Acacia wood. It wasn't pine wood and all these other different kinds of woods. It had to be acacia wood. God also told them to build it, to overlay it with gold, not silver, not copper, not brass, not nothing else, but gold. These are specific details. And then there was very specific measurements of the wood. It had to be certain diameters. That's what I'm talking about with the vision God has given you. Every detail has to be clear. And you have to do it exactly the way he's shown you. There can be no substitutes and no shortcuts. The second part of this passage of scripture says, this vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. Now, remember that you must see it in your mind before it becomes a reality to you. You have to see this vision. And so scripture tells us that this vision message is a witness, is pointing to what's coming, is for an appointed time. And I thought this was really powerful, because when you think about the word witness, when we look in our earthly realm or our natural state here, when somebody is a witness and when they have to go to court, they put their hand on a book or maybe the Bible. I don't know what they put their hand on now, but they put their hand and they take an oath saying that this is the truth and nothing but the truth. So they're talking about what they saw, what they witnessed, what they heard is the truth and nothing but the truth. This is what is happening with this vision message, the vision that God's given you. It is the message pointing to what's coming. It is the truth. It is nothing but the truth. I'm telling you, and this is so powerful, woman of God. And let's go to the third part. The third part of this scripture says, it aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will be here right on time. First of all, delay is not denial. Because something is delayed, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come. Because it's on its way. Scripture tells it, it's on its way, and it doesn't lie. When we look at James 1, 1 through 3, it says this, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Hear me on this. See, it says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its works so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. This is what is so important. This is where we miss it a lot of times when we write the vision and we're trusting God. And because it's not, he's not showing up, or whatever we're believing for, it's not coming when we think it should come, we lose hope. And scripture says our faith life is going to be forced in the open, and it's going to show our true colors. We're going to come up under pressure. There are going to be tests. There are going to be challenges from all sides. But we don't need to be in a hurry to get out of it prematurely. It's some work that needs to be done in us. We, even though we're seasoned sisters, we still have some growth to do. Every level is going to require us a different level of growth, a stronger leap of faith. You know, we have to activate our faith on a whole new level based on where God is showing us. And so we can't lose hope because we don't think what we're believing for is coming right on time. It aches to come. It doesn't lie. It has to come. But we have to make sure we stay rooted and grounded in this in-between time. And most of the time, when our desire seems slow in coming, it is to allow us to get in alignment with that desire. In other words, it allows us time to get in the receiving mode. We may not be in the position to receive what God is getting ready to bring to us right now. He said it's for an appointed time. And so either that, and it's another thing too, maybe whatever we're believing for isn't ready for us yet. And so God is preparing hearts or preparing situations, and he's behind the scenes doing a whole lot of things before he brings it to us. We could be ready, but it may not be ready for us. So I want to encourage you today to don't give up hope. Just hold on to it. I know we want it to happen soon, and we want it to happen, you know, really quick. And this is where all the doubts and all the noise in our heads and all the naysayers, this is when all this stuff come in while we're in this in-between time waiting. And that's why the strategic move here is to write down everything. And with these scriptures that God has given us to hold on to, that is the strategy, because the enemy does not want you to know who you are. And see, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. That's Philippians 4:13 Amplified Version. So when we get into these places and the enemy comes, it's not going to work, it's not going to happen, we can come back to him with this scripture here. Oh, no, no, no. I can do all things through Christ. That's why the biblical strategy is standing on the word of God. That is going to overrule, overthrow anything the enemy can bring up. I'm going to share with you two more scriptures. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be successful against us? That is no one. No one can be successful against us. Weapons may form, but they cannot prosper, honey. And I'm going to leave you with this last one. James 4:7 says, so submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. That is the strategy. So today, I really hope this blessed you in some kind of way. We talked about biblical strategy, what it is exactly. We talked about how to use it. And we talked about the first strategic move you must make in order to uncover, fulfill, and step into your purpose. Thank you, and I'll talk to you next week. Hey, sister, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share with a friend who may want to uncover her purpose so she can fulfill her God-given calling? Also, please leave a review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. Not only do I enjoy hearing how the show impacted you, it also helped other women discover this podcast. One last thing, if you're on Facebook, I'd love to connect with you. Just go to Purpose Beyond 40 for Women. I'll meet you back on Tuesday for another episode. And remember, girl, get off that couch. You're not done yet.